It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yeah, man, there is stuff we need to know. The first thing is that Pete Hegseth was on Capitol Hill yesterday, and he faced tough questions from Republicans and Democratic lawmakers about the administration's endgame for the war. The conflict's rising $29 billion cost and its impact on diminishing U.S. weapons stockpiles. Well, while the Pentagon chief softened his tone from his hearings before Congress about 2 weeks ago, you remember where he was just yelling, he was out of his mind, that old Pistol Pete. Notably, he was avoided the same pointed criticism of lawmakers. He got far more pushback from members of his own party about the levels of U.S. munitions used in the Iran war and President Trump's intense criticism of traditional allies for not taking part in the conflict. He said, "I take issue with the characterization that munitions are depleted in a public forum. That's not true." But even as Hegseth insisted that the military has plenty of missile defense systems and other munitions for the war or future conflicts, he did tell House and Senate lawmakers overseeing defense spending that the Trump administration is working to ramp up production of more weapons, because some is good, more is better. Pentagon officials also told lawmakers that the cost of the Iran war has risen to about $29 billion, most of which, about $24 billion of that, is related to replacing munitions and repairing equipment, but also includes operational costs just to keep forces deployed. Now, that's up from the overall total of $25 billion that the Pentagon comptroller Jay Hurst revealed nearly 2 weeks ago. $4 billion in 2 weeks. That's, wow, that's, when I say that's a lot of money, I will grant you, that could be the most obvious understatement in the history of dialogue. But it still makes you shake your head to go, how are we spending $4 billion more, into $5 billion more in 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Well, the Republicans really came out of the woodwork on this one. He faced notable pushback from about the straining of relations with longtime allies. Mitch McConnell, remember him, the Crypt Keeper? Mitch McConnell told Hegseth that NATO is the most important military alliance in world history. That may be true, and I would believe it is true. However, the president doesn't believe so, and so that is why we are threatening to pull troops out of many of our allied countries, troops that are there for specific national security reasons. He loves to talk about national security when it comes to trying to weaponize the DOJ against leakers or perceived leakers, but when it comes to pulling troops out of foreign countries, he will threaten to do that just because they hurt his little feelings. Okay, hey, this is good news from Wisconsin. Some good as you need to know here this morning. Children's Wisconsin is expanding its neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU, in the Fox Valley Hospital to meet higher demand for care. That was announced Monday by the health system. Now, not good news that more babies are needing this service, but good news that the hospital is creating this new wing. The NICU will add a 6-bed pod in the Nina Hospital, 130 on 2nd Street, to expand care up to 28 babies at a time. The upgraded space will have more bedside space for family members, a larger private lactation room, and a private room for families to practice caring for their babies before they go home. This is, if you've had to ever spend time in a NICU, it is really cramped. And it is, now I'm sure they have changed in the almost 30 years since Molly was in the NICU, but there was no room. You would go in, and of course it's very secure because there are babies in there. Nobody wants their baby snatched. But I could, and Parker, someday maybe if you have kids, you will learn this. It is an odd thing that you can identify your baby's cry from a long way away. Even amongst other babies crying, you can figure yours out. Because I'd be walking down the hall to the NIC room and I would hear a couple babies crying and I was like, oh, that one's Molly. And it turned out it was. But the point of this is there was very cramped quarters for families. There were very cramped quarters for moms who were trying to feed their babies. They would have to do it like almost right next to the bed where the baby was being held. So this is good if you have to use this. Now, the health system said there is higher demand for newborn care in the region, and the NICU in Neenah regularly treats patients from other medical centers in the area. Two pediatric rooms in the hospital have also been remodeled under the renovation. In a news release, the executive director of the Northeastern region at Children's Wisconsin said, "This expansion strengthens our ability to care for newborns in the Fox Valley and beyond, especially those who need critical care." So congratulations to Children's Wisconsin, and good news for parents if you are in need of those services in that area, because it is really terrifying because you don't know what's going on. And the doctors and the nurses, of course, are caring and they tell you what's going on, but it is a very stressful situation. So if you can have a little more room and be a little more comfortable and you know that your baby is getting the top-of-the-line care, it eases your mind a little. Not, you know, it doesn't wipe away all worry, but it makes things a little more comfortable, makes things a little more, you know, just adaptable, where you can ease into this hard situation. Well, somebody is being eased out of their hard situation. The FDA chief is leaving after he angered Big Pharma and vaping lobbyists and anti-abortion groups. So the head of the Food and Drug Administration, who is Dr. Marty Makary, is resigning after a rocky tenure that drew months of complaints from health industry executives, anti-abortion activists, vaping lobbyists, and other allies of the president. News of the departure yesterday came just 13 months after he was confirmed to lead the powerful regulatory agency. We should start a tally board of all both terms of Trump's administrations and see how many people are in and how many are out, and how long they lasted. Because remember in the first one, there was, who was it? Was it Scaramucci, who lasted like a week as the press secretary?
Scaramucci? I forgot about him. Yeah.
You can't forget Scaramucci.
Wow.
You can't. And then you can't forget that, you know, Sean Spicer was there, and then Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who could have been, Sarah Huckabee Sanders makes Caroline Leavitt look like a softball pitcher when it comes to dealing with the press. Sarah Huckabee Sanders had zero cares to give to anybody. She was vicious. But anyway, that's beside the point. We need to start a flow chart. But a surgeon and health researcher, Makary came to prominence among Republicans as an outspoken critic of COVID-19 health measures during the pandemic. Sure, that'll endear you to MAGA. He frequently appeared on Fox News Channel, another prerequisite for getting into the cabinet. You have to have made a lot of appearances on the one channel that the president watched when he wasn't throwing ketchup bottles. He struggled to manage the FDA's bureaucracy and failed to win the confidence of its staff after mass layoffs, leadership upheavals, and a series of controversies in which the agency's scientific principles appeared to be overridden by political interests, including those of Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah, I would imagine now, I don't have a lot of management experience, but if I went in and I fired half the people and I discounted all the work they were doing scientifically, it would be hard to win the confidence of my staff, I would think. Trump later confirmed in a social media post that Kyle Diamantis, the agency's chief for foods, is expected to take over as acting commissioner. Diamantis is an attorney with personal ties to Donald Trump Jr. Raise your hand if you're surprised. Thank you. No hands were raised. All right. In a post, in the social media post, the president included what appeared to be a text message from Makary submitting his resignation. In it, he noted that, quote, "I announced 50 major FDA reforms. Joe Biden's FDA had none. He thanked Trump for the chance to serve." The FDA commissioner, as leader of an agency that regulates billions of dollars in consumer goods and medicines, is often required to juggle competing priorities that straddle science and politics. It seems as if, and again, my opinion, but you are more than welcome to draw your own and share them if you want at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, that this administration's department heads tend to veer more toward juggling the politics rather than the science. There seems to be a complete disregard for science, for scientists, for anybody who's smart, for people who have dedicated their lives to the pursuit of making our lives better through science. Again, my opinion. Macri faced a unique challenge in balancing calls by Trump and other Republicans to cut red tape at the FDA. Yes, fewer regulations often lead to good medicine. Also attending to Kennedy's interest in scrutinizing the safety of vaccines, drugs, and food activities, the decision to get rid of him was made by Kennedy, and then the White House signed off on it. So there you go. And real quick, before as we start to wrap things up on S You Need to Know, if you are going outside, my friends, be careful because wood ticks have been unusually active in southern Wisconsin this spring. Emergency room visits for tick bites hit their highest known level in southern Wisconsin and have been up across the state in recent weeks. That's according to data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, which began tracking tick-related ER visits in 2022. Most of the country has seen a similar trend, but it has been especially pronounced in the Midwest, that according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Experts say the evidence in Wisconsin suggests people are having more encounters than usual with the American dog tick, also known as the wood tick. It is a really common human biter, said a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Entomology and director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector Bone Disease. It's also very common on animals, including pets. Every day when I let my dogs out and we're going for a walk and they want to go into the weeds and the underbrush, I'm like, oh. I tell them, be careful for ticks. Do you think they listen to me?
No.
Nope. They don't care one way or another. Because you know who's going to deal with the ticks if they get them?
You.
Daddy-o over here. Me. I got to pick the ticks. No good. So, of Wisconsin has two main tick species. Did you know that, Parker?
I did not. Please tell me.
Well,
more.
Now you do, because I'm nothing if not educational. Wood ticks are the lesser evil. Wood ticks are relatively large and can be alarming to spot on your skin. But deer ticks, those are the ones you got to be really careful about. Deer tick populations appear to be about average for this time of year based on preliminary findings. But ticks are present year-round in Wisconsin. They're the most active during warmer months between April and September. We're in May. That's right between April and September. So be careful. Human encounters with wood ticks normally peak in the spring and early summer. Then they drop off quickly while deer tick activities stay high over a longer period. So I guess what's the lesson here, friends? You got to wear long pants and good shoes when you're out hiking in the woods. Perhaps some long sleeves. Dress like you're in a beekeeper suit and then wander around the underbrush. Or just stay off it. But ticks can be on the paved path too. So just watch yourself and know knowledge is power. So if you know the ticks are out there, you can protect yourself.